this guy loves to change up the personnel on a whim. He does all this stuff where I don't know if they can ever get the consistency, if they can maximize even the minimum of what they have in front of them. I think that limits them in that regard.
I was thinking about that too, because that has to do where when we start talking about how they look in tempo and how they look when they're running 4-minute offense, mm-hmm. it isn't just the simplification of the plays. It's the fact that they're not running personnel groups in and out. That it's not like, okay, are we in 12 personnel? Are we in 13 personnel? You know, and who's out there and who does what? It's the same guys on the field lining it up and running it. And maybe more of that is a way they can get out of their own way, because you're right about now it's time for this group or that group to run this play or that play. And everything has to be some sort of complicated football ballet.
One of the things that if I get time today, because we have a lot of stuff that's planned out for today, I want to talk about the idea of too much experimentation in the Bears offense right now. That there's, okay, well, you know, we took this guy and he used to play defense and we're going to put him over here. And this guy is a kick returner and that's kind of what he does, but we got a way to get him the ball more. And as they've tried to give Cordero Patterson the ball more, he's been less effective. Like the kind of shoehorning stuff that they're doing there. And also, if you want to go as deep as the quarterback and say, well, there's an experimentation that's going on there, there doesn't seem to be, like, what would Joe Madden call me, a lineupista? Like, mm-hmm. I got some lineupista problems with Matt Nagy right now. That he needs to be more consistent, and maybe there needs to stop being so many experiments on an offense that at this point should be fully formed.
And during games, there are too many times where you're seeing something for the first time, and you're like, you know what? Maybe you know, cook that in the test kitchen, you know, in practice a little bit better before you roll it out there. So, you know, we'll. It's just not happening though. This is 3 years now. That we know what they're going to do. We know how they're going to do it. I don't have any trust that unless it's completely due to need because of injuries or lack of availability, whatever it may be, that it's all still these little fairy tales of X's and O's that dance in his head.
Yeah, that's part of the problem here, which is why I don't dismiss the idea of maybe someone else to do it, because they aren't as married to the concept as he is. Like he sees it a certain way, and he sees it a certain way on the board as they're getting ready. And then he's trying to replicate that. And I don't have a problem with him trying to replicate his offense, but there's significant proof now that he can't do it with the personnel that he has. And wherever it is that you feel like the blame lies, if the blame lies on him or the personnel, either way, you need to make changes. It's part of the reason that I got really frustrated last week after the game against the Rams. I don't think Jared Goff's any good. Like I think that he is a middle of the road quarterback. But I saw in the game against the Bears, his coach actively say, okay, we're going to make this easier for him. Mm-hmm. We're going to do all of these things that make the throws easier for him, that make the reads easier for him. We're going to do the window dressing, and we're going to be able to run the ball. And what we're going to do is we're going to build plays off of the things that we're doing. We're going to take this ghost action run that we have, and then we're going to slip him out the other side on a boot to make a very easy throw for him. It's that type of stuff that I see around the league. Like even last night's game, when you're watching Daniel Jones, another guy who I don't think is good, but I think has a little bit of talent, you see them playing to his strengths. And I still haven't seen whether it's Foles or Mitch.
Well, what are Foles' strengths? What strengths of Foles would you play to?
I would play towards tempo, what you brought up. When you watch the Bears offense, when they go into some of that stuff, whether it's tempo or, like you said, the 4-minute offense, he seems more in control. And you are limiting the chess pieces a little bit that Matt Nagy can play with that I think sometimes gum up the works.
I know, but he's got to relinquish control. You know, that was the argument on the sideline. That was the argument in the Bucks game. Right there. And I was talking with Robert Mays earlier that maybe that's it. Maybe it is just the Nagy saying less is more. And okay, Nick, you got your wristband. You got the plays. Here's generally what we want to accomplish, but it's going to be more on you to figure out a way to get it done.
And it, maybe Foles is not the guy to do it because I have some concerns that his reputation coming into this town, isn't as true as maybe we want to believe, that he's obviously, like, he's a great teammate and all these things. He should know the material by now. And it concerns me that he kind of doesn't. That was a part of the reason that you did this, is because you had a better belief that he understood what you were trying to do offensively better than the other guy understood. And he would be less reckless than the other guy. And he's been more reckless than the other guy. And those are concerns for me in trying to figure it out. So I don't know how much time we're going to spend on that today on the show, but it is something that's on my list of things to do. So why don't you, sir, go walk on some sunshine.
And
hang out and try and breathe and work through some of this stuff.
I also want to go check the wine rack and figure which Cameron Hughes varietals go best with which state's results.
Okay. I mean, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. And that's always a good call with Cameron Hughes.
Yep.
I still have the bottle you gave me back before pandemic.
Which one?
I forget which one. I don't know why. I could go out and get it, but it's you gave me a white. And it's
a white. Just what I always wanted. A white. Nothing was meant by that, but that's usually I usually hoard some of the red. I gave away a bunch of red this last round, and I actually think we got a rosé that's chilling, and maybe I'll grab the Lodi blend that is good. I think it pairs well with results.
I mean, inside your house, once you get back from dropping the kid off, just go ham and wake up tomorrow and then figure things out.
Ultimately, I'm going to do that anyway. I'll be in studio with Layla. So we'll be all right.
All right, Dan. Be well. That is Dan Bernstein. He is on the airwaves 9 a.m. until noon. And tomorrow, Layla Rahimi is going to join him in his quest of foreknowledge. This hour is being brought to you by ComEd. Discover convenient ways to pay your ComEd bill at comed.com/pay. Can the people see Herbie today on the Twitch stream? Is that a thing? Oh, my goodness. Twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
But you saw the touchdown to Cook and the touchdown to Taysom Hill, and they didn't get pressure on a stationary quarterback. They had one sack yesterday against Drew Brees. And here's what Drew Brees is really good at this point in his career. Mitigating mistakes when he is moving. I joke that it's athleticism in the pocket. And if you're watching me on the Twitch stream, I'll demonstrate why I talk about it. It's not being one of the fast guys. Like, you're not asking someone to be Lamar Jackson. You're asking someone to take a step to the left or a step to the right. A step to the right.
Put your hands on your hips.
Excellent work by Herb Lawrence on the open today. Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I am here with you until 2 o'clock. Here's what we have planned for you. Mark Lazarus writes Bears, along with writing Hawks, and he wrote a really good column on the Bears. We're going to talk with him at 1 o'clock. I'm telling you, you should stick around for the entire show. Like, I want you to be here with me for the entire show. But at 12:40, We are going to do top five Tuesdays. We started this 3 weeks ago where I came up with a top five venue, sporting venues that I've been to, and we had good discussion. And then it morphed into a donut discussion because obviously, and then last week we went because it was a Monday night game, the top five players. Today we're going to have a little bit more fun with top five Tuesday. 12:40 today. I'm going to get back to my roots a little bit. That's the only tease I'm going to give you. Just be here at 12:40 because I promise you that we are going to have a good time. In between time, in the meantime, we are going to talk a little bit about what's going on in football right now, where they're talking about expanding the playoffs. We are going to talk about all of the Chicago finalists for the awards. I think one guy wins, but we'll go through all of the finalists of the two Chicago baseball teams that are up for Major League Baseball end of the year awards. I really wish that they would just get it over with. Why are we waiting? Like, I get it. You stay in the bloodstream a little bit longer, but I feel like this is one of the things that baseball could modernize itself with. Like, wouldn't it have been cool to hand Jose Abreu the American League MVP award during the playoff series with Oakland? Like, that would have been cool, right? I don't know. It just seems like it's a real waste of time. So we will get into talking about those guys. I've got some geek stuff that I want to talk about a little bit later on. I read a piece in on The Ringer today that I thought brought up a really interesting point about The Mandalorian. So I will get to that and some other stuff on the show today. I'm so glad that you were hanging out. There's a bunch of ways that you can get involved with the show. You can call us at 312-644-6767. That is also the way that you can text us. That's the Rose and Hyundai text zone, brought to you by Rose and Hyundai in Algonquin. We are broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai studios. Visit your local Hyundai dealer, like the one out in Algonquin, Rose and Hyundai. I wanted to start with the news of the day as far as the Bears go. It happened a little bit after I got off the air. And I have to tell you, I was surprised that Javon Wims was suspended. And people were like, well, why are you surprised? How dare you be surprised? The reason that I was surprised is that there's not a lot of precedent for it. That's not usually how it works. Usually you get a fine and we saw a fight happen this year. A couple weeks ago, where the guys just got fined $15,000. And that was it. To see him get two games, I'm really surprised, and I imagine that they're going to turn those two games into one game. That's my guess, is that that's what ends up happening. The two games turn into one. But they definitely sent a message. Here is the actual press release from the NFL on this, so you understand why they felt this way and why they ended up making this decision. It's also interesting who's in charge of discipline, if you didn't know. Javon Wims of the Chicago Bears has been suspended without pay for two games for violations of unsportsmanlike conduct rules in Sunday's game against the New Orleans Saints. NFL Vice President of Football Operations John Runyon issued the suspension for a violation of Rule 12, Section 2, Article 14C, which prohibits striking, swinging at, or clubbing the head, neck, or face of an opponent with the wrist, arm, elbow, or hand, as well as Rule 12, Section 3, Article 1, which prohibits any act which is contrary to the generally understood principles of sportsmanship. Wims will be eligible to return to the Bears active roster on Tuesday, November 17th, following the team's November 16th game against the Minnesota Vikings. That's the man from the Minnesota Vikings. Under the collective bargaining agreement, Wims may appeal the suspension within 3 business days. Any appeal will be heard and decided either by Derek Brooks or James Thrash. Those are some quality NFL names right there. The hearing offers jointly appointed and compensated by the NFL. The officers are jointly appointed and compensated by the NFL and the NFLPA to decide appeals on-field player discipline. So Javon Wims is out for 2 games. I suspect it gets knocked down to 1, but I was wrong about him being suspended. So maybe I'm wrong about this. It just seemed like you had like a Pier 6 brawl. You had dudes that were going after each other with like a blood feud, and they just got fined. Sure, it was stupid, and a lot of the country saw it because it was Fox's Game of the Week. But it seemed a little harsh. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve to be punished. I was just surprised at the severity of the punishment and the fact that John Runyon is a vice president in the NFL. Isn't his son, is his son playing with Tom Brady in, or play, what was it? His son played against Tom Brady last week and Tom Brady played with Runyon at Michigan. Is that right? Herbie, do I have that right?
I believe you have that right. Yeah, he went over and greeted him after the game. The Packers, John Runyon plays for.
That's crazy. Here's Tom still out there now playing with his teammates' kids on the field. And John Runyon, he of the braidable back hair, is a vice president at the league office. Man, time is amazing. Weird stuff happens. We need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to take a nice look at the guys who ended up as finalists for Major League Baseball awards. There are five Chicagoans that got themselves to be finalists. We're going to talk about that. I want to talk about the American League MVP race as it has to do with Pito himself, Jose Abreu. We're going to do all of that. And then at 12:40, Top 5 Tuesday. Don't miss it. I promise you, we are going to have a good time. Back after this on The Score.
Mully and Hall, Chicago's number one and most listened to sports morning show, period.
Coach wants that.
I thought that Trubisky should have been the guy. I stand by that. Everything that Mitch was doing, numbers-wise, was better. Less interceptions, more touchdowns, 10 yards of carry rushing. They were still moving the chains. Mitch was playing a lot better than Foles, in my opinion.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
This is Andrew Bogish with a Radio.com Sports Minute. A week ago, we discussed Mitchell Miller, whom the Arizona Coyotes drafted last month, despite an admitted history of bullying and harassment. The backlash was so strong that the Coyotes renounced their rights to Miller, and North Dakota dropped him from their hockey program. So now the question is, does Miller deserve a second chance at some point from somebody else? My default answer is yes, because most people do, and I may need one myself one day. That being said, Miller didn't make just one bad choice. His harassment of Isaiah Meyer Crothers, a black classmate with developmental disabilities, went on. And according to Isaiah's mother, Miller has never apologized directly to her son or their family. That seems like a good place to start before anyone gives Miller a jersey to wear. I'm Andrew Bogey.
The Medicare annual election period deadline is almost here. I'm Meredith Vieira, here with examples of people who started their search for coverage at myhealthpolicy.com. Meet Larry. He likes doing things online, so he started
at myhealthpolicy.com. I took my time and found the coverage I was looking for, and done.
Next is Mary. When she wanted answers, she picked up the phone.
I wanted a local perspective on plans, so I called myhealthpolicy.com and done. Switch to a better plan.
And Michael.
I met with a local licensed insurance agent face to face and done.
Go to myhealthpolicy.com to compare top-rated Medicare Advantage plans in your area, including $0 premium plans, or call 1-800-GO-START. That's 1-800-GO-START. Meredith Vieira is a paid endorser. KF Agency operates myhealthpolicy.com, not connected with or endorsed by the U.S. government or the federal Medicare program. A licensed insurance agent may call.
Calling future real estate innovators. Earn your master's degree in real estate at Roosevelt University and access the keys to your future. You'll grow your network and learn from industry professionals with real-world experience. At Roosevelt, you can take classes full or part-time to earn your degree at your own pace. Scholarships available. Make your mark at Roosevelt University. Learn more at roosevelt.edu/real estate. That's roosevelt.edu/real estate.
When I wanted to get a loan, I asked my friend who worked with AmeriCash Loans.
I told her that with loans up to $4,000 and same-day funding, I was happy to recommend them. Plus, with their Refer a Friend program, I'll get $100 and my friend will get $50. Apply online at AmeriCashLoans.net or call 888-907-4227. 888-907-4227.
AmeriCash Loans. Your money, your choice. Restrictions may apply.
So, question, how far would you go for a friend?